I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a relevant portion of the universe where people know about the magic of cloning and clone everything except dinosaurs because they know dinosaurs are absolute jerks. Heck, you know what? They might even have a clone of this. Intermezzo RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Intermezzo RSS. My name is Travis.
And, you know, hello, everybody. I'm Brandon.
Hi. Hi, guys.
I needed to buy an extra second to turn off original sound for musicians.
Yes. Remember, if you are doing the interdimensional RSS drinking game, take a drink for original sound for musicians being mentioned on the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to, I can't believe it. It's already another episode of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, man.
What is this? A baker's dozen by now? How many? I guess just three. Three episodes.
Yeah, I mean, if a baker's dozen was the number three, then yeah, absolutely. Like that,
my baker's been shortchanging me for years.
I always thought a baker's dozen was like one croquette.
What? One and a half. He gives me a kolache, I think is what it's called. It's got a hot dog in it. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the podcast where we talk about Rick and Morty, and we are in the throes of season 8 of Rick and Morty. So we will be talking about episode 3, The Rick, the Mort, and the Ugly, in just a little while. But before we get to that, let's cover some general housekeeping. If you're new here, you want to get in touch with the show, plenty of ways you can do that. You can follow us on X at Rick and Morty Pod, over on Facebook, facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Instagram is Rick and Morty Podcast. And you can send us emails, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Blue Sky, rickandmortypod.bsky.social. We are keeping up with the pulse of Rick and Morty for the most part, except for the fact that we have now recorded 2 out of the 3 episodes ahead of the actual release of the episode. But if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, head over to the official Rick and Morty subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com, or you can go to our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com, and our website, rickandmortypod.com. Video versions, head to YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And if you want to support the show, not saying you have to, but if you want to, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. That's it. That's all of the contact things. I guess you could send us a letter. I'll give out Brandon's personal address at the end of the episode. Stick around.
That's for our the post show that we do consistently.
That we do so often. Thanks. Thanks to all our patrons.
How are you doing, Travis? We're recording this on a Sunday morning. So
which we always do. It gives the same vibes when I'm drinking coffee instead of alcohol.
Yeah, this morning I was like, should I start with should I stick with tradition and make myself a mimosa? And I was like, no, it's 9 o'clock. Come on, Brandon. Don't start that early.
Unfortunately, I do have to travel to the West Coast today. So we are sneaking in this episode just ahead of me hopping on a plane. So we will not, unfortunately, have as much of the Unity, your reaction, your response to this episode. because we are leveraging the fact that we still have some screeners in our back pocket.
Yep.
We have watched and rewatched this episode, so we'll talk about it. But unfortunately, we won't be able to include all of your thoughts. But please continue to share those in the comments of this episode, and then we could talk about it maybe next week.
There we go. Well,
all right. Well, with all that out of the way,
let's get you on a plane, boy.
Yeah. Bye. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Now, let's start out as we do every week with a segment that we call Semi Pertinent News.
A ding a dong a ding a dong a ding a ding a ding a ding ding semi pertinent news. Ding a ding a ding a ding a ding with the ding a ding semi pertinent news. Ding a ding a ding a ding.
All right. First up in semi pertinent news, if you are not familiar with Harry and Ian, these are the amazing actors who have taken the reins of voicing Rick and Morty for the last season, as well as this season and on into the future, 100 years, Rick and Morty. Harry and Ian, great guys.
Yeah.
Often confused, but they're great. We would never mix up which one is the voice of Rick and which one is the voice of Morty. That's not a thing we would do on this podcast.
Definitely not to their faces in their last interview with them. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
We really need to work on that before we interview them again later this week. Oh, spoiler. Oh. Keep an eye out for that coming up. But if you are fans of Rick and Morty, there's a cool opportunity coming up later this week. Or no, I'm sorry, next month. Next month. It is Harry and Ian doing a live stream autograph signing. This is available over on Streamily.com. There's a link in the show notes. But this is basically going to be like a live stream where they're going to be on there. They're going to be signing autographs. And you can go in advance and get prints, Funko Pops, different types of merch. If you want to get that signed by Harry and Ian, you can do that. You can purchase those things in advance. And then on July 13th, they will be doing a live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern where you can tune in, watch them, and they're doing like a Q&A and stuff as well. So cool opportunity if you're fans of the show to go and interact with the two titular voice actors.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And one of the things that I saw Ian post was, this is a good way. Like, they've been going to conventions for the last year and a half, 2 years maybe, just like nonstop, which is awesome. Which gives them a chance to meet a bunch of different fans and sign things. And so this is a way to, interact with folks, get signatures out there that maybe that there wasn't a convention in their state or their city or their country, you know. So go check that out.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Again, that is July 13th for that. All right. Pretty much that's it on semi-pertinent news, except for a couple reoccurring segments. This one, of course, being the Reddit post of the week.
Reddit post of the week. This one is from user MicahX2366. They post full heart, full charge. And it's somebody got a tattoo of the USB plugin licking its own plugin. From the famous episode Summer of All Fears.
The famous episode Summer of All Fears, a classic, an instant classic. There is some chatter, some dissent in the chat in the comments of this post, saying that it's real, maybe it's not. I don't know. Based on your history of receiving tattoos, what do you think? Do you think this is real, or do you think this is an elaborate Photoshop?
It looks a little Photoshoppy, but also there's like little pieces, like especially like around the bottom edge of the cord, where it's like the skin looks a little bit raised, which is, you know, something that happens. I think Summer of All Fears came out like 3 weeks ago. Well, yeah, no, I mean, it could have healed up by then. So
that's a bold move to watch that episode, see that tattoo in the episode, and then go out within days and be like, you know what? I need it permanently on my body.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the black is pretty black. But, you know, it looked, some of the skin looks raised. So I'll say it's real.
Okay. All right. Well, you be the judge. Head out to the official subreddit, Full Hearts, Full Charge. One other question for you. Uh-huh. I mean, you have several tattoos.
Sure.
You've gotten ink for a while. I still don't have my first tattoo. Do you think this is a good idea for my first tattoo? No, that's not the question I was going to ask.
On your forehead. Question
is, just right on top of my bald head. Would you get a Rick and Morty tattoo? We have been sort of in this Rick and Morty, you know, world now for several years, making hundreds of episodes. Would you consider getting a Rick and Morty, not even just Rick and Morty, but like something Rick and Morty related?
Yeah, I would. I'm Simpsons. Like I don't have a Simpsons tattoo either. And you know, one of these days I want one of those too. So I would get a Rick and Morty thing. I'd probably just be like wubba lubba dub dub, you know, like be like the Joker from Zack Snyder's Justice League and like right there across, because
on your forehead.
Basically means damaged. It's the same thing as saying damaged.
Yeah. Yeah, I am in great pain, just tattooed right across your forehead.
Yeah,
it's fitting.
A lot of head tattoos on this episode.
You should get Rick and Morty from the couch gag when they were on The Simpsons, and then two birds, one stone.
You can
skin them both.
Right yeah, there.
Simpsons all around.
The only cartoon characters I have on me are from Futurama, and that's Fry, Leela, and The little guy.
Is it Nibbler?
Nibbler. Yeah.
The fact that I pulled that and you didn't means we both need to take a sip of our coffee. All right. That's the Reddit post of the week.
Head over
to the subreddit.
The last thing we have, of course, is the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
They don't really ask for a theme song, but I do it anyway. It's the Harmon Social Media Minute. Okay. Dan Harmon Social Media Minute. This Dan's all over the place. He's posted on Blue Sky about, you know, government leaders talking smack at each other. I didn't feel like that was fitting for this episode, so I went over to his Instagram and that is a spot where you can find reels and different posts about one of Dan's favorite video games, which is Satisfactory. We played some Satisfactory for a little while, you and I. It's a lot of fun. It taps into that organizational sort of OCD part of our brains. But this is a cool little clip where it's just a quick shot of sort of like your Satisfactory outfit. I think this is in like sort of your control center, your home base, where there are some bunks over to the left. And in those bunks, there is a Meeseeks box.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this is, you know, something that the creators put in because they love Rick and Morty, or if this is something that the creators, knowing that the creator of Rick and Morty loves the game and posts about it, sort of a nod to Dan by putting a Meeseeks box back into the game for him. But a cool little Easter egg for Rick and Morty fans. I'm assuming this is real. I haven't fired up the game. Like, I don't think this is something Dan would do to, like,
Photoshop or not.
Yeah.
two Photoshop or not.
We're just gonna question everything in this episode. Is it real? But yeah, that's your Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
Cool.
The Meeseeks box and Satisfactory. If you want to follow Dan Harmon on Instagram, he is at Dan Harmon. And that's it. That's semi-pertinent news. If somebody is discussing Rick and Morty news on the street, send it to us. Let us know if it's something you think we should cover in an upcoming episode, and we will take a look at it. Thanks to everybody that has done that. Both of you. Thanks to both of you. All right. That's it for semi-pertinent news. When we come back, we will be diving into episode 3 of season 8. So stick around and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is now time for us to talk about Rick and Morty. It's a thing we actually do on this show in a segment we call the main thing.
Main thing. Main thing. You caught me mid stretch. Oh.
It's good. You're just getting loose. Getting loose.
Main stretch. Thing. It's time for the main thing, everybody. So we are in season 8. We're in the throes of season 8. I think I said that last week too. It's episode 3, The Rick, the Mort, and the Ugly aired. It airs tonight, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be yesterday. 6/8/2025, written by three folks, credited written by three folks, Albro Lundy, James Siciliano, and Michael Kellner, directed by Brian Kaufman. The synopsis here, Travis, do you want to give it a shot?
Some guys want to rebuild the Citadel, bruh. Seems like a bad idea, bruh. Yeehaw and stuff, bruh.
Yeehaw stuff, bruh. Our synopsis, of course. A Citadel episode in the style of a Western.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of Western-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get your mouth round it.
The title reference is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. One of the three Sergio Leone spaghetti Western films starring Clint Eastwood, the man with no name.
A classic.
Propelled Clint Eastwood to stardom. Those films. It's kind of weird to think that Clint Eastwood wasn't a star before those movies, like really kind of like shot him into the stratosphere. Then Any Which Way But Loose happened, and then he just kept going. The one with the orangutan, where he's a truck driver with an orangutan.
Yeah, that one's my favorite. I think Unforgiven, was he in that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
I think he directed that, actually.
I believe so. Yeah, he moved into directing in his prime.
Gran Torino.
All right. All right. Well, let's as we've mentioned a couple times, right? This is a Citadel episode. This is something we've had a couple of times now in the history of Rick and Morty. And this really takes place after the Citadel of Rick's was destroyed. With Rick's and Morty's for that matter, looking for new ways to survive, looking to carry on. Rick's are looking to rebuild the Citadel, sort of start a new Citadel. I don't know. What were your thoughts sort of on the overall theme of this episode as you watched it for the first time?
The first time I watched it, there's a lot of talk of clones going on in the episode, and I was in my head like, damn, did I miss something about like cloning Rick's? Did I know about cloning Morty's? Did we know about that?
There's a lot of, as the show has gone on, there's a lot of like Phoenix Project references and discussion of how Rick's use clones to kind of keep themselves alive and pass their consciousness. But really the original Citadel was about a bunch of just regular Rick's that decided to get together and form this community. I went back and watched the original like Rick Lantis mix up, and it wasn't like clones were a prominent feature there. But I think pressing the clones was necessary within the construct of this multiverse to make this episode work because of, and it talks about it, right? Like early in the episode where there's several lines of dialogue where they explain that all these Ricks and Mortys are clones and they were sucked back to their original reality when they did the portal reset, making this their reality because they're clones. If every Rick got sucked back to their normal reality, there wouldn't be a Citadel full of Ricks because they would all be gone. So I almost think it's a little bit of a forced, almost like retcon to say, yeah, a bunch of the citizens of the Citadel were clones for whatever reason to, you know, hawk fast food or, you know, do other, you know, have odd jobs, I guess. I don't know. But like, yeah, I thought that was kind of strange that it was forcing this idea that there was a ton of clones in the Citadel.
Yeah. I think that was the, especially on first watch, what was kind of hanging me up, being like, I don't, is my memory that bad that I don't remember a lot of this talk? You know, obviously we have clone Beth. Like we have that too, right? But I was like, I don't know. It kind of takes in some ways, it takes a little bit of the fun out of like Hammer Morty and like, like to think like maybe, yeah, maybe some of these things are clones. But anyway, as far as the rest of the episode went, I liked the story that was being told, clone stuff aside, of, you know, the outcast Rick, the corn farming Rick, you know, just being, wanting to be on his own, doing his own thing, and then going out for revenge and then pulling up a you know, arcade Morty, him hitching a ride and him being as competent as outlaw Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting way to kind of reinforce that Rick and Morty adventure bond, right? With a pair of non C-137, you know, Rick and Morty's, right? The idea of these bottle episodes that are separate from our main characters of Rick and Morty, but still tell us a Rick and Morty story that has similar beats. And, you know, kind of talking about with when Arcade and Dr. Morty are smuggled in the back seat, and he's like, ah, yeah, classic Rick and Morty adventure, just like when Rick took me in summer to the park. And he's like, those are fabricated memories. That's not real. I also have those memories. Like
Rick taking us to the park.
There's something about Rick's teaming up with Morty's to go and achieve something that, yeah, it's present in this episode.
Yeah.
Even though it is adjacent to our normal story.
And I really liked the relationship between Arcade Morty and Rick, because I mentioned it before, but Arcade Morty is competent and he's confident and he's like, I'm going to save the other Mortys. And Rick says, stay out of my way. And Morty says, stay out of my way. And then they're both so pissed. And then Doc's over on the side being like, like Doc Morty, when at the beginning of the episode, when Rick comes in, he's asking for all these like doodads and fidget wits or whatever, and then you hear Doc in the background be like, "Oh, it's up on that other shelf. I guess I'll climb up and get it.
It's really high shelf, but I think I can get it." And he falls over. So, yeah. All taking place only, you know, in dialogue and not on camera at all. I think it's great. I think it's a great bit.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm not a huge Western fan, necessarily, but you know, the thing I liked about the Sergio Leone and like Unforgiven is they're not pure Westerns. Like they take place in that era. It's not like about heroes. It's about kind of anti-heroes.
Sure.
And kind of, I read something. It was like Leone's is kind of like a satire of the Western. I like that he brought that aspect into this episode. And same thing with like Valkyrie last week. Like we talked about the Valkyrie being about assassins. It was this was very much that last week was very much an assassin episode, sticking with the theme of it. And then this one, which is very much so a Western. I like that the titles are like, I like that I'm pretty good with the titles this year.
Yeah. I'm excited to go back later in the season or after the season and revisit our predictions based on the titles.
Yeah.
And see how good we're doing. But
yep.
Yeah. No, I think as like a standalone, you know, Citadel type episode, initially, like it wasn't my favorite. After a couple of rewatches, I was like, okay, I can appreciate this for what it is as a standalone story, essentially, but it still didn't feel to me as impactful or as strong as some of the other Citadel episodes, right? In the pantheon of Citadel episodes, I felt like something was missing. And when I went back and watched the Rick Lantis mix-up, I realized right away what it was. And it was the fact that there's no Evil Morty reference, no twist. No, like, Evil Morty has kind of gone out on his own. He is doing his own thing at this point, right? We've had some closure with that, I think, in the series. But that was huge in Tales from the Citadel. The fact that President Morty, at the end, we discover is Evil Morty. The music plays, those bodies are floating out in space. It was just one of those moments where, like, the crowd goes wild, right? Like,
yeah.
this is the return of Evil Morty. Same could be said for when they go back and Evil Morty basically, you know, tears down the Citadel and blasts off out of the multiverse, out of the central finite curve. Even.
Yep.
Like, that again, like, it's almost like Citadel episodes have a direct connection with Evil Morty's plotline. And this was the first one that sort of took a break from that. It stepped away and was still about residents of the Citadel. It was about rebuilding the Citadel, but it wasn't in that story arc of who Evil Morty is or what his goals and aspirations were. And I think, not to take anything away from this episode, but that being missing was felt, right? The fact that this truly was its own self-contained story and didn't tie into any larger pieces, I think probably hurt the episode a little bit in terms of its impact. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah. Evil Morty stuff aside, like, you know, he's off doing his own stuff in his own worlds now. So I wasn't expecting any Evil Morty twists. There were moments where Arcade Morty, I was like, oh, like there's something there that could be happening, or, you know, developing as far as where that character might go in the future. But I think the stakes aspect of it, I think I agree with, right? The, like, in the end, there wasn't any tie into, like, the Citadel is gone again, by the end of the episode. So it's like, well, okay, bye-bye. And then clone master engineer Rick is dead. And then the Mortys go on to do live their own lives on different various planets. Mining Morty goes on a mining planet. Farmer Morty gets another piece of straw. And so, yeah, like there's nothing that's like, wow, oh, this is what's going to be big.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, the self-contained aspect of it, and then the relationship, the callback that Rick has at the very end there, when, you know, he gets all the Mortys on the ship, said, like, get out of here, like, now go make your own memories. You know, just like a very subtle callback to the, yeah, these are all fabricated, Rick taking us to the park. And so I liked that. And I liked the idea of kind of taking the Citadel stuff and saying, like, yes, it's been Rick's, like, there's Ricktown and Morty Town, all these types of things. let's have them be free and let from the writer's perspective, let's have them do their own thing now. Like let's we don't always have to do a Ricktown and Mortytown type of community.
Yeah. No, and I get that. I'm curious in terms of, you know, we talk about interviews with Scott Martyr and producers, creatives for the show, and how they look to create a balance of, you know, individual Rick and Morty adventures along with these sort of canon, you know, story thread type stories. Does it, what bin does this fall into? Is this an attempt at doing more of that long story arc, or does this kind of fall into its own separate adventure that is almost unrelated even to our main characters? Like, is this the lore type episode that fans are going to be asking for, or is this something different?
Yeah, when you watched the episode before me and you're like, I have thoughts, and then you're like, I'm going to rewatch Rick Lantis mix up. Like, okay. So it's a Citadel episode. Like it's a Citadel style episode. And you're like, yeah, like, so like a lot of lore, like kind of. that's a tone I got. I don't know if that's how you said it, but that's well, like, that's how I read it.
It was text. You bring your own inflection when we're talking in Messenger.
Is it? It might be.
That's the voice I always assume you're using when you text me. So
It's true. It is. But yeah, like this is like one of those like, you know, the Star Wars books that come out in between the movies, like the Star Wars comics and stuff like that, come out in between the movies that are like, they're telling stories that are adjacent. They're in that universe, but they don't really have necessarily an impact on the main story, but it's still interesting. If you want to know about like what happens in between, you know, The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, or, what is it? Attack of the Clones. And then New Hope. What happens in between those movies?
Andor. Some of the best content ever happens in Andor.
Yeah. That's what happens. But what happens behind the scenes of Andor? That's what we're the Bothan spies. That's a,
yeah. Yeah. Well, who's doing cleanup on the Yavin base? Who's doing KP duty? We want to know about those guys.
Yeah.
Or aliens.
We need a Lower Decks, but for Star Wars.
I don't know that we really do. But yeah. All right. So you think this was a Lower Decks for Rick and Morty? Is that the point we're making?
Well, I think the point is it's lore, but it's flavor lore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
as its own story, I can appreciate it. It's an interesting, like, there's an interesting arc within the, you know, 22, 23 minutes of this episode. I can appreciate that for what it is. If you are a fan that really just is craving more information about our main character, Rick and Morty, and their storyline and stuff, you may feel a little disappointed because this is outside of the very beginning and the very end of this episode, it doesn't really deal with them in any way. Although it does kind of create this appreciation for how far our Rick and Morty have come in their relationship when all these clones are slaughtering each other. And then they're like dealing with their emotional maturity as they hop in a portal after finding Morty's fidget spinner. But outside of that, not a lot of stakes, not a lot of ramifications based on the outcome of this episode.
I have a better example of what this episode is. For those tabletop RPG nerds out there, or people who like role playing games like Skyrim, those types of things. As you're going through these worlds, you're like, you have the main story that's going on. It's like, yeah. But I want to find a book. I just want there to be a lore book just about the world that they're in. It doesn't have to be plot driven at all. I just want to know some of the extra stories that are happening in this world to give it that breath. That's kind of what this episode is. Maybe there's stakes later, but right now this is like let's flesh out the world a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate that as well. Obviously, as we mentioned before, we are recording this before the episode has aired on Adult Swim. So very interested on Unity's reaction, on the fan response. So, if you're watching this and you've watched the episode, please let us know either in the comments or, send us a message. We want to know what you thought about this episode. Did you like it? What did you like? What did you dislike? You want to talk about? I mean, there were bits throughout this. There were some funny bits. Some of the notes that I took are just kind of referencing, not necessarily jokes, but things that happened in the episode. But let's kind of roll through these. We already talked about that, like exposition, those lines of dialogue at the very beginning to be like, oh yeah, the portal reset sucked everybody back to their own reality, but these are all clones, so technically this is their reality. It's also interesting to me just that Rick is out there doing chores, that he's just out there cleaning up Citadel wreckage at the beginning of this episode. Like,
yeah.
Not exactly sure why he has like a sense of responsibility for doing that, but that's why they're there. So, okay. And then, I don't know. I thought that was interesting, but also a little ham-fisted that was like, yeah, okay, let's just write a couple of really quick lines of dialogue to deal with the subreddit questions that are going to come up from this episode.
Yeah, that's a good point though on the Rick doing chores and Citadel cleanup, because there's stuff to unpack there.
I don't know why he's out there,
but. and we get zero. And then pointing out clone master engineer geneticist Rick, he's out there, and so we ask, like, is that his reality or did he just go find, like, just go live out there in the farm? He just wanted to be there. Like,
yeah, I think we know. And I mean, things can change, you know, between episodes and stuff. But as far as I'm tracking, the reality that we're in is Morty's original reality, because his original grandpa was Rick Prime. And they're in that reality because they killed Rick Prime and then just stayed there. I think it's the Parmesian reality. But also, I guess the Citadel exists there. So this couldn't be, because cloner Rick was made from sex and not from cloning.
Right.
He had to portal back to this reality to then go live out his days as a crystal corn farmer. Yeah, you know, let's just move on.
Yeah, moving on. The can of spray that instantly fixes Rick's ship. I like that. That's a good little gag.
A little off camera spray sound, and all of a sudden his whole ship is fixed. That was pretty good.
The kind of cutaway gag. I dug it. We talk about the off camera high shelf bit. like that. And then the classic. There was a time in my life, Travis, that I wanted to get that horn out of my car.
I think we all go through that phase at some point where we think about it, and then there's a select few of us that give in to those impulses, and those people are legend. So, I like not only that it happened the first time that the ship arrived in Morty Town, but like they go back to it like three times in the episode. Like it's like throughout the episode, it's a reoccurring gag that I thought was pretty funny.
Odd job, Rick, making small talk on the elevator. Dexter was like, that was a weird scene.
It you know, it's funny, like, I find myself in elevators a lot these days. My kid has been in and out of the hospital a whole bunch. She is on the 10th floor usually in the hospital. So anytime I need to, the cafeteria is on the first floor. So anytime I want to go get snacks and treats, I have to hop in an elevator. And the number of times I'm awkwardly in an elevator with one other person, this scene spoke to me. Yeah, you like football? Just trying to make small talk. Long elevator ride. Like, yeah, I've been wearing basketball t-shirts because the NBA finals is going on. And oh, yeah, you like basketball? Yep, sure do. All right, well, this is my floor. See you later.
That's why, like, I've got my Dodgers hat, and Dexter has some Dolphins shirts. Get anxiety going out wearing those things because I'm like, I don't want to be asked about the team. We went to the Dolphins versus Chargers game a couple years ago, and he was wearing a Dolphins shirt and like, hey, Dolphins, huh? And he's like,
please don't notice me.
Yeah, I'm literally getting ready to go fly to Seattle, the city that they stole the Oklahoma City Thunder from to move to OKC. And I'm like, I want to wear my Thunder stuff because they're in the finals, but also I don't want that attention in Seattle. Yeah. I don't want people being like, zombie Sonics, you know, all this stuff. So yeah. Anyway, moving on. We have a main character in this episode that was the result of several silly bits. The Southern Oil Baron Rick, the clone that was made to be like a spokesperson for a Southern food chain or something.
Yeah.
Get your mouth rounded. This is classic tagline.
I loved the all just how bad the accent was.
Abomination. Richard, like, it got worse as the episode went on, which was great. It was really
good. They're like, Ian, just make it worse. Just
a descatal huapion or whatever. What?
Fucking that killer. And then his real voice. What was the line he said with his real voice?
I can't remember, but a credit to Ian Cardoni for the variations of Rick voices in this. And yeah, just having to portray different versions of Rick was pretty hilarious.
He was like, okay, man. Something like that. It's like, that's your real voice.
I would use the Southern accent too, I think, if that was the case. So.
Someone made you socks.
Yeah. Yeah, the disdain of the sweaty bits being used to produce human life from the cloning community, I thought was funny.
The when the Ricks come, they destroy all the town and cloner Rick's farm. And then cloner Rick walks in, and it says on the ground, what kind of grown man listens to Tori Amos? And then,
yeah, I had to pause the episode to read that because it goes by so fast.
Yeah. And it's like, when he walks in, it's like sideways on the screen. And then very, very briefly looks at what it is. And then he opens up his CD collection, it's like
the Tori Amos CD that they have also vandalized.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, yeah. She's dropping a deuce.
It looks like the message on the ground is written in excrement, and then and then as like a callback to the CD cover. But the payoff of the Tori Amos bit in the beginning comes full circle when in the huge fight sequences at the end of the episode, they play a Tori Amos song, Little Earthquakes, which I had to use my phone to identify the title of the song. was like, hey, Siri, what song is this? Because I'm not personally not a huge Tori Amos fan. but I thought it was a great callback to use that for the epic kind of destruction of the new Citadel fight sequence.
I think about Tori Amos and back in the 90s, like when Cornflake Girl came out, and like I like Tori Amos, yeah. But I was also like listening to like the alternative rock stations, and yeah. I think back on it now, and I'm like, why was Tori Amos on K-Rock? It's like I'm nothing against it, but like but then again, Ben Folds Five was on there, so you know, whatever.
It's a weird time. It's a weird time.
I felt called out. Is the point of that?
Okay.
All right. I'm like, sorry.
Should have brought your Tori Amos CDs for this episode. We talked a good bit about Dr. Morty earlier. His fabricated memories. His death scene was kind of funny and sad at the same time. Yeah. Like, well, I know a doctor that.
The flames aren't getting any closer.
My medical experience teaches me that bleeding out will be a more comfortable death.
I may not be a real doctor, but I've read enough to know that bleeding out is more comfortable than catching on fire.
Yeah. R.I.P. Dr. Morty.
Yeah.
And his little tombstone. portal fluid being used as currency. This is a very brief note, but it's something that I think I always have an issue with in Citadel episodes, and it's the fact that Rick, smartest scientist in the multiverse, right, like invented portal travel, creates clones of himself, has all these body modifications to, like, he's super smart. And then there's all these Ricks in the Citadel that, like, are doing menial tasks, stamping cookies at Simple Ricks, Simple Wafer Cookies, like Plumber Rick, you know, all these things. And so the fact that they're, like, using small amounts of portal fluid as a currency to kind of, like, can these Ricks not just like make portal fluid? Can they not, like, are they not smart enough? Is that what we're getting at here? I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of comes across to me that the cloned Ricks, they're trying to clone more Mortys so they can get the Citadel built up. Because right now it's all the clone Ricks that are building Citadel. They want more Mortys, but they're not smart enough to do all the cloning. They can't do it. The only person who can do it is an actual Rick. And so I wonder if this kind of introduces a low key suggestion that all of the clone Ricks they suck. Like they're inhibited in some way, shape or form that they cannot, like, part of the cloning process is like, you can't be smarter than an actual Rick.
And maybe that helps explain a little bit of those Ricks in the Citadel that weren't the Rickest of Ricks, right? We're working in factories, we're doing menial tasks, we're taking public transportation, yeah. Right?
A question we asked for previous Citadel episodes, like, why would a Rick subject himself to working in a cookie factory? Well, they're cloned for those things. They're like, why would a real Rick subject themselves to menial living?
It's a job that requires more than a Morty is capable of, but isn't quite, you know... with something that a true Rick would lower themselves to do themselves. Maybe that's that Venn diagram of overlap.
But portal fluid is the gold standard of that.
That's right. I kind of like them discussing what they're going to do when they have enough portal fluid to make a jump. Some interesting.
I'm gonna go where racism's cool. Skinhead Rick.
Gosh.
Go.
I don't know. What do you think about the action sequences in this episode? I thought there was some really great, you know, sort of fight scenes, some big battles. I thought that just sort of the, you know, kudos to the director of this episode, Brian Kaufman, for kind of mapping out those scenes and having some really kind of epic battles, like at different stages throughout the episode.
Yeah, I liked the Morty abduction at the start. The Ricks going through each of the houses and the lights turning on, and you just see the silhouette of the Ricks kidnapping the Mortys. Yeah. I liked that aspect of just the silhouette and the lights turning on. That felt super Western. Like, that whole thing felt like it. For a second, I was like, if you didn't have an Unrick Given episode, like, you could have titled this one that. Right.
Sure.
At that point in time. So I'd like that. I liked the when Cloner Rick is actually like going through and like, you know, shooting everybody up. I love like the kind of like John Wickian aspect of it, where like they killed his pig. And then he's got a little locket with a pig's face in it. He tosses at it.
That's really good.
But like the first kill, that right when they're talking about they're getting the portal fluid. And then the one's like, I don't even have a mother. And then he like puts the portal fluid in a locker and then gets killed off screen. It's just a splatter of blood. I was like, oh, okay, this is turning into like a weird little horror thing. I loved a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And at the culmination of that being with the Abomination Morty, when the cloner Rick successfully clones a Morty, but goes intentionally too far, building this abomination that bursts out of the cage and just starts wreaking havoc on the Citadel, killing a bunch of the other Ricks. I thought that was a great touch. I thought it was a great sort of way to show another cool kind of design of this monster Morty that just goes. And I just recently finally watched a Captain America Brave New World with Red Hulk. So it like tied together real quick on that, but I thought that was cool and kind of just added to that level of chaos in those sequences.
Cloner Rick sends the Mortys out on their I'm always a fan of a good
that just every time I rewatch the episode, that little moment cracks me up.
Yeah,
it's just adding to the westernness of the episode.
Well, and what I really like about that moment too is Cloner Rick is somber. He's solemn the entire time, super serious, but then he shows his Rickness.
It was really good. The sequence of all the Mortys kind of going to a place where they belong. There were some, you know, we mentioned it, the farm, the mines, cow skull Morty going to live with giant cows. Just, you know, there's a place for everyone. There's a place for every Morty. But it is interesting that Arcade Morty just kind of ends up back where they started. And I think a little bit of that is just because they need somebody there to kind of bookend the episode with our Rick and Morty. But just his reflective, you know, like going back to where it all began. I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. The fidget spinner bookend. You know, as I'm going through my garage cleaning stuff out, I still find random fidget spinners. I'm like, why do I have these? I never use them. What?
Yeah.
These, you get them at like a convention, or like people are like handing them out, like, oh, it's got my company name on it. Oh, anyways, fidget spinners.
I went through a phase where I was like 3D printing fidget spinners because people in my office were really into them. Now I have a stack of like six on my desk that I'm just like, this is just literal plastic trash.
Yeah.
I don't know why I have these. But.
All right. Well,
it's interesting.
Let's talk about the best and worst parts of the episode, Travis. I think worst part for you, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to, probably the Citadel episode without Evil Morty. Like I think that really weighs heavy on you.
Yeah, I appreciate you putting those thoughts on me, and just, you know, assuming my thoughts just because I wrote them in the show notes. I do think that tie-in of Evil Morty in the previous Citadel episodes really grounded those episodes in some sort of, you know, sustained lore, some sort of, it tied those episodes together. This is tied to those episodes because it is a Citadel episode, and it's dealing with sort of the aftermath of the Citadel's destruction. But I didn't get that same wow factor in this episode that I did with the previous Citadel episodes, I feel like, where they really, those were episodes that we talked about for weeks and months and went back and revisited because of the twists that were written in or things like that. And that, I just felt like that was something that was missing from this episode, which just kind of lowered the wow factor for me.
The wow factor. Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. We talked about it already. I'm itching to see I'm itching and scratching to see what the subreddit in the community has to say about it. Maybe they'll be like, oh, actually Numericons isn't that bad.
in light of this, no. I think the music for me, and this is probably true of all the Citadel episodes, but like, I think there was an original song. We'll have to catch up with Ryan Elder and see, like, but there's a song early in this episode that I thought was I think it's just starting into the montage of cloning Rick, you know, harvesting his crystal corn and feeding his animals and stuff. Like some of that music was really good. The tie-in of the Tori Amos music to kind of pay off on that joke, I think was a good touch. So, I think Citadel episodes tend to have good musical selections or good original music. And, so I thought that was a highlight in this episode.
Yeah. And then of course the music at the end, when Mortys are populating planets, that's, the consistent theme there. I don't know what the song's name is, but, it's has that like inspirational, hopeful feel, for them. It kind of reminds me of like, the Stand By Me Mortys.
Going to the wishing portal.
And then I'll say this is the best part. I want some of these boxing dice. Those things are so cute. The cartoon, like,
the fact that they survive the wreckage at the end in the post credits scene, and they're like there together, and then just start fighting because like that's what they know. I thought it was great as well.
Yeah, and all the cartoon, like classic cartoon bonks and boops as they're rolling down the hill. I want to 3D print one of those things. That'd be cool. So
that'd be cool.
If somebody
could 3D model some of those for us.
Yeah,
so,
please.
So that we can just have the STL file. That'd be great.
Please do. Well, I think those are all of our thoughts. Travis, do you have anything else that you want to add or?
I think that pretty much covers it. Just looking forward to the continued discussion of this episode and finding out what the rest of the community thinks about it.
That's right.
Overall, I think it was a good episode. It just is in a different sort of column in terms of types of Rick and Morty episodes. I think it's unique, and I appreciate it for what it is. It's something different, so you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. I think that's what it. We're going to have to see. It's tempering expectations for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that as part of it is you find out it's a Citadel episode. You're like, okay, all right, we're going to get something. And then you don't get what you expect out of it. So you have to kind of align those expectations a little bit better. But people aren't going to be able to do that until they see it. And then hopefully see it again. Right. And then watch it.
I definitely liked it more on repeat viewings.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. But not everyone does that, right? Not everyone watches them multiple times.
And then takes copious notes. Is that just us?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I think I see people in the subreddit do this a lot. They're like, season 8 is not good so far, right? In my head, I'm like, how many times have you watched the episodes? If you only watch the episode once and you're expecting just the best thing you've ever seen, you're going to be disappointed. But if you watch these again, you'll like, and then you set your expectations aside at the door, then you're like, these are damn good episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now I think so far this season is off to a strong start. Yeah. Even with, you know, those sort of like caveats on expectation management.
Yeah. So if you have any thoughts on this episode or the previous episodes we've had this season, please go out to Facebook, go to Instagram, our Blue Sky, hit us up, and we will include you and your thoughts on listeners. So Jorsons and Shortouts, which I'm sure some of you sent us some stuff, but I did not check before because it's Sunday. Who does work on Sunday?
It's weird. Yeah. Yeah. Leave us your comments, leave us your thoughts. And yeah, we will share those in an upcoming episode. Anything else you want to talk to before we get out of here?
Yeah. The very, very last thing I want to talk about is we kind of mentioned it kind of haphazardly in the, semi-perts, but we are set up. We're going to have an interview with Harry and Ian this coming week. And, I don't know how much time we have with them, but any amount of time is the right amount of time with those gents. So really, really excited to bring that to you. If you have any questions for them, you know, get your own time. This is our time with them.
Oh yeah. I guess if one of you sent us a question that we really thought was good, we would consider asking it.
Yeah, and then and take credit
if there's
for it.
Time. If there's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess you could send us those questions, you know, to any of our social media platforms or leave a comment on this episode. And then we would consider, you know, taking credit for
it. We'll consider. Well, no, we won't consider taking credit for it. We will take credit for it, but we will consider asking it.
Absolutely.
But we also might just send them to them in like an email and say, like, these are all of our questions. If any of these suck, they weren't ours.
Somebody else asked us to ask. So. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching. If you're new here, like, subscribe, leave a review, do all the things, you know what to do to support podcasts. And yeah, that's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week. Hopefully, with some interview content as well as a review of episode 4. So make sure you're subscribed. And until then, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you all.